Chapter 6 of Deuteronomy. And reading from verse 10. This is to God's ancient people Israel that he was bringing into the new land. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, and vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware, lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt and from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him and shall swear by his name. Now I'm going to think of this as a word of caution to a people that were coming into a land where everything was ready to hand. Now let us go over to the book of Jeremiah. I'll read my scriptures. Jeremiah chapter 6. And reading from verse 8. Be thou instructed, O Jerusalem, lest my soul depart from thee, lest I make thee desolate, a land not inhabited. Verse 16, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. He said, we will not walk therein. Now here we have a word of counsel to a people that were departing from the old way. A word of counsel. Now let us go over to the book of Chronicles. First Chronicles, reading chapter 29. Verse 1, furthermore, David, the king, said unto all the congregation, Solomon, my son, whom alone God has chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great, for the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God the gold for things to be made of gold, and silver for things of silver, and brass for things of brass, and iron for things of iron, and wood for things of wood, onyx stones and stones to be set, glistening stones, and divers colors, and all manner of precious stones, and marble stones in abundance. Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of mine own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God, over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house, even 3,000 talents of gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver, to overlay the walls of the houses withal, the gold for things of gold, and the silver for things of silver, and for all manner of work to be made by the hands of artificers. And who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? Now here's a challenge from a man who was preparing for a house he'd never seen. And he says, I have prepared. Now he says, who among you are willing to consecrate his service? So, this is a challenge for consecration. Now there's one more we'll read in the Gospel by John. John chapter 16. John chapter 16, the Lord Jesus here speaking to his own. Verse 28, I came forth from the Father and am come into the world. Again I leave the world and go to the Father. His disciples said unto him, Lo, now speakest thou plainly and speakest no proverb. Now we are sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. Jesus answered them, Do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And so here we have a word of cheer. So there's your vitamin C's for the morning. A word of caution. A word of counsel. A word of challenge, and a word of cheer. I suppose it is a fault with old age that you get living in the past and thinking of the past more as time goes by. But you know, I can't help but think when I come to Clemensvale Conference, my soul wells up within me, because we were here, you might say, almost at the beginning of the work. I intended to check with Brother Robert this morning and get some dates, but some of us have been coming over the years. I don't think I've missed over four conferences at Clemensvale since the beginning of the conferences. Now, there's some of you here for the first time. And everything is arranged to your hand. The basement is just lovely. And the experienced cooks and servants, my, they just serve us so well. But you know, it wasn't always that way. And so, we have much to rejoice in at this late date in the experience of Clemensvale Conference and Clemensvale Assembly. And it thrills our souls as we look at the dear brethren. Their hair is thinning now and getting gray. And once they were boys, we could see, you know, they were spry on their feet. And now they have served God in Clemensvale over these years. And if they hadn't been faithful over these 40 years, we couldn't have had a conference here. And so I want to just throw out to the dear brethren and sisters who carry on here week after week and year in and year out, your work will be rewarded. God is not unfaithful to forget. And you've been a service to God's people here in Clemensvale, and we all appreciate it. I want to speak of this little word of caution that God gave to his earthly people. He says, you're coming into the land. You're coming into a land where you don't have to dig any wells. You're coming into a land where you don't have to plant any trees. They're already planted. And you're coming into a land where you don't have to build any houses. You're going to live in houses that are already built. And you're going to eat fruit off of trees that are already planted and bearing fruit. Now he says, there's a grave danger, and you be cautious. Because come easy, go easy. And he says, when you have eaten and be full, then he says, beware lest you forget the Lord. Now some of us may be
branded as being of the old school. I was telling someone this morning when I was out west, and no reflection on many of the dear Christians out there, some godly Christians. But when we get ministry like this out there, they'd say, oh, that's that down east stuff. I want to tell you the people that said that today, they're away out in left field, away from God's assembly. They didn't want. They did just what happened here. When they ate and were full, then they forgot. And they cut down the trees that were planted that they didn't plant. And they filled in the wells that they didn't dig. And they destroyed the houses that they didn't build. Brethren, this is a serious thing. Now, we were in the beginning of a work over in Prince Edward Island. The wells weren't digged for us. The trees weren't planted for us. The houses weren't built for us. And the first time I ever saw an assembly, I was in it. And where I went, where I came into the assembly was in the old dance hall where I had my last dance. And as I turned my back to go to the dance that night, I was on my way to hell. But this is 3 months later, and I'm coming in now, the brethren had rented that hall. And I'm coming in now, and I'm facing the door this time. And as that door opened that I walk in, I saw a sight I had never seen before. I saw a table with a loaf of bread and a cup of wine sitting on it. And a man walked over on his tiptoes with the dog. We have carpets today. We don't make much noise. It's lovely. When Christians have that respect for the place where his honor dwells, that they come in like this dear man, the evangelist that saw us brought to Christ, walked on his tiptoes and he handed us a hymn book and he showed us to a seat. And I sat down around that table. That was my initiation to the house of God. I say the first time I saw an assembly, I was in it. That was the planting of the first assembly on Prince Edward Island. As I say, the trees wasn't planted and the wells weren't digged. And the houses weren't built. We had to do that. And as we struck out on our little pathway there, and it's over 50 years now, we look back, and what we learned then, we still cherish now. And we have no time for a generation that rises up and tries to cut down the trees and to pull down the houses and to fill in the wells. We have no time for them. And I want to tell you, God has no time for them either. And I tell you, they'll be the losers at the judgment seat of Christ. What we were taught as we came into God's assembly, we were taught that it was a place that the Lord had chosen to place his name. And we've never changed our minds about it. Some of you here, and we would give you this word of caution. You have been brought into the assembly. We often feel sorry for Christians that have come along later. We got the basics. Oh, brethren in our ministry, don't be afraid to give the basics. As Brother Wells said this morning, this seems elementary. It's not elementary, brother, to give the basics of confession of sin and all these little supposed elementary things. We got that. And that's what molded our lives. We were molded as Christians by basic teaching. And I often feel sorry for Christians coming into meetings where the house is built and the trees are planted and the wells are digged, because sometimes they don't get that. And brethren, in our conference meetings, in our Bible readings, and in our ministry meetings, in God's name, when we have young converts amongst us, let us give them every time we can weave in, oh, it's all right to stick to the context and all the rest. It's lovely. Brother Sidney Maxwell said, we'll let you off with it in ministry. We won't let you off with it, he said, in the Bible reading.
Well, maybe the less Bible readings, the better. May God help us to give the basics. Paul said in the Roman epistle, he says, ye have obeyed from the heart that mold of doctrine to which you were delivered. And a young Christian needs to be molded. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always. Mr. Harris used to say, teach your converts the truth and they'll fight for it. If you don't get a good start, we were brought up on a farm. And we raised pigs. And if they didn't get a good start, you never got them finished for the market. And if a Christian doesn't get a good start, by all the laws of averages, very often, they'll never make much in their Christian life. But if they get the basics and get into their soul, what God has saved them for, and get into the assembly and understand that God has a purpose in saving me and bringing me into the assembly of God, and I'm in something that I didn't work for, I'm in something that I didn't help to build, but I'm going to appreciate it. I'm going to appreciate it. He says, where all these things that you can do the good of them, you be careful. Now there's some of you just newly saved. And maybe all this is kind of strange to you. We want to tell you, dear brethren and sisters, young people coming along, that what our brethren are practicing here, if they were up here and would tell you that it cost them a lot to dig the wells and to build the houses. I think this is the fourth. Is this the fourth hall in this part of the... They burnt one down. Well, the Lord Jesus is just as much hated today as he was then, only it's gone underground. And I think this is the fourth building that's here. But I just delight in thinking of the courage of our dear brethren, especially your old Mr. McElwain, Robert's father. The year that they never told them until 2 days before the conference, I think it was, that they couldn't have the public building. And the crowd was all coming. And they went to work with a pick and shovels. And they dug out a place down underneath there and put up tables. Some of you will remember we were here. Deep at that with those tables. That's the kind of thing that went on at the beginning of this work here. Now you're coming into it and the hall's all finished. You're coming into it and everything is right in your head. Brother or sister, young in Christ, I want to ask you, and I want to tell you, don't you ever despise what these dear brethren have hewed out from the awful quarry of nature, because the darkness all around us is terrific. And these dear brethren who are getting to the stage where you're getting older. You young men are coming along. You be careful. Don't cut down the trees. It's easy to cut down a tree that you didn't plant. And it's easy to fill in an old well that you didn't dig. But that man that goes out and he begins to fill in the old well, and he remembers how he sweat to dig it out. There's a lot of sentiment connected with it. And so this little word of caution this morning, be careful. When everything is to your hand, don't lay back and say, oh, well, we won't go to the prayer meeting tonight. No. Well, why aren't you going to the prayer meeting? I want to ask you, why aren't you going to the prayer meeting? Isn't that what God saved you for? Oh, but you say, well, I'm so busy with what? With what? When I see Christians habitually missing prayer meetings, I know that they are drifting away from God. Oh, you say, I'm always at the morning meeting. So you should be, and so you should be at the prayer meeting. All the meetings of the assembly. My friend, this is the most important thing. To heaven. The house of God that he has purchased with his own blood. You tell me anything else in Nova Scotia? that's been purchased with the blood of Christ. The steel mill. The mine are going to open in Stellarton. The big water well here. Was it purchased with the blood of Christ? You can get all occupied with those things. But he says the house of God which he has purchased with his own blood. And so if he purchased with his own blood, I should be at the prayer meeting. Oh, if you're here and you habitually miss the prayer meeting. Brother or sister, I want to tell you, you're on the wrong road. You're doing things that will be detrimental to your Christian life. You see to it that you're always at the prayer meeting. If there's 25 in fellowship in Clemensville, there should be 25 at the prayer meeting. Now, we would qualify that. Sometimes there's things beyond our control. There's mothers with a sick baby or something. Or there's somebody had an accident or something. We understand all that. But friend, don't let some little trivial thing. I know a dear man, in my experience, I don't want to describe him because some of the, perhaps, remember him. Or pinpoint him. We went to this little assembly one time, and it was little. We went to the prayer meeting, he wasn't there. Found out afterwards why he wasn't there. He had a sick calf. Well, farmers do have sick calves. But he was taking it to the market. And I think there was $20 involved, whether he got the $20 or not. And he missed the prayer meeting. He missed the prayer meeting. Because they couldn't decide whether you're going to get the $20 of the calf or not. Missed the prayer meeting. Do I need to tell you? The last word I heard that man's on welfare. I tell you, friend, you can't play tricks on God. If the assembly, the house of God, and we believe it is, has been purchased with his own blood, then my very best is too small to put everything into it for God. So here's a little word of caution. Now let us go over to a little word of counsel. Jeremiah brings out there. He says, stand in the way and see and ask for the old ways. Wherein is the good way, the old paths, and walk therein. No, a lot of God's people can't see today. They say, someone said, and I thought it was a cute saying, you can't be optimistic when there's mist in your optic. Isn't that good? There's a lot of people that missed in their optic today in relation to God's things. And everything has gone to a bow wow. We have to change things, you know, to make them work. Just recently I got a letter inquiring about a certain place. And there was supposed to be a letter to go back. And they said, what's happening there? They said, make out the check to the Christian Assembly. They said, what's gone wrong? Why isn't it Gospel Hall? There's no mist in the optic of those people that got the letter. Now, I don't know whether there was any fault on the part of the people or not. I have yet to understand. But we're living in days when the old paths, they're too antiquated. That's the dinosaur crowd that all that does those things puts Gospel Hall outside their door. We're going to change it to Christian Assembly. Well, I could take you to the west coast of British Columbia and I could show you places where they put that up. And today it's a mixture of everything. Remove not the ancient landmarks which thy fathers have set. And while there's no scripture for gospel halls, I believe we should have it on the gospel hall. Why? There's a stigma that goes with it. The gospel hall. And someone just said to us yesterday, that someone they know said, well, when you say Gospel Hall, oh, they say that's just the traditionalists. Sure. That's the people with a mist in their optic. They can't see clearly that God is a path for His people to walk in these dark days in which we live. He says, stand. Oh, what we need today is men and women and boys and girls to stand. Take your stand for God. And remember that nature's ties were severed at the cross. And if it's my son that departs from the faith, am I going to follow him because he's my son? And if my husband, if that wife's husband departs from the faith, is she going to follow him because he departs from the faith? He says, stand and see. And I want to tell you, you don't have to be very intelligent in the things of God to see today the way things are going and the drift that's on. Ah, brethren and sisters, remember, we have an awful lot to be thankful for on this east coast of Canada. Thank God for the men that God has raised up. Don't pull your punches, brethren, when you're giving out the gospel and when you're teaching the Christians. There was a time when it looked very difficult here in the Maritimes. But I would say now at our conferences, and I want you to know some of these places around us that tell us where the tradition is, they never have a conference. And they wouldn't know what to do about a gospel series of meetings. In fact, one of them phoned me up when we had 7 weeks. Some of the converts are here. Thank God for them. One got saved the last night of our meeting last summer. And this man was having some very special meetings in a place that would like to tell you they were in assembly. And he said to me, a nice chap, I never met him, but he's nice over the phone. Say he's a nice chap. And he says, how do you do it? Preaching every night. We didn't tell him we'd preach the same thing over and over. 7 weeks, 8 weeks, and God's people fill the tent. Oh, and God's giving help, I tell you. These people don't know anything about that. Oh, they are the crowd. The modern crowd that have all to know. But don't let me fail to tell you, there's mist in their optic. They can't see the way things are going. He says, stand and see and ask. And if you don't know, you ask. Ask someone you have confidence in. Don't go and consult some creature that wrote a book. Any creature can write a book. One woman said anybody can write poetry. She said, da, 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 da. She never wrote a line in her life. Anyway, lots of books. There's a book going now. Somebody sent it to me through the mail. That's a startling thing. One thing I found fault with. He set a date for the Lord's coming. And he put it at the 13th of September, 1988. Oh, you see, I'm startled. What startled me is why he went that far. He could come tonight. And oh, that got a grip of you boys and girls. We have grandchildren not saved. Some of them are here. We have brothers not saved in every one of us. But there's something startling when a man comes out and says that the rapture is going to take place on the 11th or 12th of September, 1988. Now, I don't go for that. But nevertheless, it startles you. So if you don't know, come to a book. And come to men that you have confidence in that know the book. And whose lives prove that they know the book and they put it into practice. Stand. Ask for the old paths. Ah, brethren, I'm going to tell you, and I want to say it again, we have so much to be thankful for east of Toronto. Oh, don't you go ahead and say I didn't include Toronto. But the devil's at work. But I'm going to tell you our conferences. Many a child of God is getting help at the conferences. Why? Because we have an open platform. We don't have arranged platforms. And so the Spirit of God can raise up men. They never raised me up if they were asking for speakers. They want somebody that was nice and cute in front of a mic. I don't have that quality. So they wouldn't ask me. But one thing God has put in my soul is the desire to see God's things go on until the Lord comes. And so this is a secret. This is a secret of our conferences here on this East Coast, brethren. 700 in Charlottetown, their conference on Prince Edward Island. Around 700 or more at Pugwash. And 200 or 300 here, Sydney, Sussex, go down the coast east, Boston, down to Hartford, down, right down through, up to Newfoundland. And what do you have? My friend, you have an open platform where the Spirit of God can raise up men with a message that God has given to them. When we get up here, my friend, we didn't sleep all night and snore off, friend. We were exercised. I told God, God, I don't want a sermon. I want a message. I want a message. Because we're living in crisis days. These are the days, dear brethren, that we can do things, exploits for God, because things are on the drift away from God. And so here's a little word of counsel, or caution. The counsel, I guess it is, this one. Ask for the old paths. And I tell you, when you're going out here, when you're going along the road, sometimes they don't know where to find. They couldn't have never have found the tent where it was this summer down in London unless they put signs all along the road. They did that. But God found four men down there. Sometimes they can't find the gospel all. Can't find it. That happened in Charlottetown. And they drove around, the policeman didn't know. I don't know, it might be a shame on us. But by and by, they spied a car going by, and there was two sisters in it. They had hats on. And they said, we'll follow that car. Guess where they landed? At the gospel hall. What's the old paths? Off for the hats! Off for the hair! Out to the hockey! Have to have games! That's not the old paths. That's the new way. And I tell you, a Christian who wants God's things, they'll find God's place. Reality will always support reality. And so, let us stick to the old paths. Put up Gospel Hall on your building. You say it's not in the Bible. My friend, it has identified those who practice the truths of God in relation to the house of God. And don't you remove the landmark. God's people still want direction. A word of challenge. A word of challenge. Ah, because dear David, he never saw the house, only by faith. But everything he had went into it. He didn't ask the others to do what he didn't do. He piled it up and he piled it up. He knew it was going to be built. And by faith we're hearing. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. By faith Noah builded. By faith Abraham went out. And by faith David builded up a treasure for a house he'd never see built. He believed it was going to be built. He did it for God. Now he says, this is what I have done. He says, I'll challenge you. Who then is ready to fill a hand for God? That's the big thing. That's the challenge we want to leave with you today. Fill a hand. That's consecration. You've heard me use that illustration so often. You wonder why I put that bass under there? I don't like the preacher that goes before me spitting in it. I didn't want anybody to follow me. That's why I put it there. But, referring to the glass, if you'd have asked one of the brethren what that glass is for, they'd say, that's for the dry preachers. And they put it up there. Did they put it up empty? No. They've sanctified it. That's what it's used for. They set it aside for that purpose. But they take it and they put it under the tap and they fill it up with good cold water. What have they done? They consecrated the glass that was sanctified. You see the meaning of consecration? Father, I want to ask you what your hands are full of. Is it for God? Now we all have to have legitimate things that we have to do. We know that. But David said, who is willing to consecrate himself this day unto the service of the Lord? Oh, I want to go home to heaven with my hands full for God. You know, I lay in the hospital a little over a year ago. I was ready to go to heaven. I was resigned. I was. I told God if he'd raise me up, I'd want to spend every hour. God raised me up. And as far as I know, I have a clean bill of health. Although you never know, I could drop before I get off the platform. But I'm ready! But I want to put every ounce I have into the things of God while I'm left here. Is that your desire, young man, coming along? Or are you thinking of a great college career and something great that you're going to do after? You're going to do something for God after you've done all that. Consecrate yourself to God now and let God direct your way. And I want to tell you as I sit down, we're on the winning side. Here's a man, he's going to a cross. And he says, be of good cheer. He's soon going to sweat drops of blood like sweat in the garden of Gethsemane. And he's soon going to be crowned with a crown of thorns. That's what the world did to him. But he says, you be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I've overcome the world. Thank God. We're on the side of the man that won the victory. Be of good cheer. And so this little word of caution, a little word of counsel, and all by the help of God that it might be a little word of challenge to you who are younger. Look at my hair. Well, he says, why do you comb your hair before you? And he looks awful. Gray hairs are a crown of glory. It'll be found in the way of righteousness. I said at a conference one time, young man got up. There was gray-headed men there. I quoted that verse when I got up. It said, rise up before the hoary head. That young preacher, he believed in that. We left it with him.